and welcome to Black All Year, the podcast where I, Steph Adusse, explore blackness in all its dimensions, every season, every story, every voice. In this episode, I speak with Ghanaian artist Kelvin Frimpong about his powerful personal journey through radicalization and the transformative role that art has played in reclaiming identity and purpose. This is a deeply reflective conversation on how race, belonging, and vulnerability intersect, and how healing can come through creative expression. Born in Kumasi, Ghana in 2003 and now based in Rugby, UK, Kelvin Frimpong is a multidisciplinary artist whose vibrant work is rooted in the cultural traditions of West Africa and the lived experience of the Black diaspora. His paintings use bold colour, Ghanaian symbolism and faceless figures to explore themes of identity, migration and spirituality and resilience. Kelvin's work has been exhibited internationally and he is passionate about using art to inspire reflection, healing and joy. Through his creative practice and now through his personal story, he invites us to consider how we see ourselves, each other and the forces that shape our lives. So, Kelvin, I'm really kind of pleased that you agreed to come on the podcast. And just so that people know how I came across you, you literally popped up on my For You page on TikTok. And I think the first video of yours that I saw, first or second, was you talking about the subject that really made me reach out to you and say, please come on the podcast and talk about this. And
it was Which one was it?
It was about you talking about how you were almost radicalized.
Oh, the right one. Yeah, of course.
And it was, I thought, first of all, I thought it was really brave of you to talk about it, but I was really interested because it must have come out at about the time that TV show was out.
Yeah, which was insane timing. Like, I didn't even mean to do that. Like, I hadn't watched it yet. And then when I released it, people were like, you need to watch this. And yeah, very, very good timing.
Yeah. And I think that was that thing of, I mean, there was so much kind of controversy about that and people saying, oh, well, it shouldn't have been a white boy, it should have been a black boy and all this type of thing. But actually, you talking about what happened to you, I thought people need to hear this and they need to learn from this. So Do you want to tell us a little bit about kind of that experience and then we'll come on to the rest of what you do later?
Of course. So about the whole experience of, you know, almost being radicalized, you know, it came from where the school that I went to and the town that I live in. You know, I live in a town called Rugby and I went to a school called Harris. And obviously the school was very majority white. You know, the teachers did the best they could. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But obviously some kids, you know, what they learn from home or what they see on TV or how their parents speak around them, that's exactly what they're going to be thinking of me. You know, so a lot of these kids were looking at things that their parents would be saying, you know, their grandparents, you know, whatever. You know, a lot of them actually did admit that their parents and their grandparents are racist. And, you know, back in those times, I was obviously new to the UK because I came here in 2016.
So how old were you?
I was 14.
Right.
Yeah, I came from Ghana straight here. You know, and obviously I was new to the, you know, how the UK works and, you know, kind of being introduced to the culture and everything. It was really a lot for my mind to handle. I didn't even understand the idea of racism as it worked, you know, someone just hating you for the fact that, you know, you're black. I didn't even think that existed. But, you know, I think the UK taught me a hard lesson.
Yeah. And it's funny, actually, I was just talking to somebody earlier this week who is Nigerian and has only been in the UK for 2 years. And she's had a very similar experience of coming from Nigeria where pretty much everybody was like her. And then she's come to the UK and she's in Durham. And there's not, I mean, you think rugby's white. And she suddenly having this feeling of being very, very different and experiencing racism in that way, in a way that she hadn't. So it must have been really quite, she's a little older than you. So for you, that at that age, at 14, that must have been really quite hard for you to deal with.
Yeah, honestly, it was, right? But, you know, the thing is, in the moment, I didn't realise all these things, you know, because at that time, you know, obviously no shade or anything, no hatred to anyone. I was going to a church at that time where I really don't think their messaging was the perfect thing, because a lot of their messaging was to do with, you know, almost the worshipping of white wealth, white capitalism, you know, white intellect, you know, a lot of white things. So when I was going through those things in the moment, I was like, okay, I mean, like, it's just part of life, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, I'm in their country after all. I guess because I remember I spoke to my pastor and they were just like, you know, it's just the way life is, you know, it's the way life goes. And I was like, that's fair, you know? So in the moment, I didn't actually realize. I think after I kind of came out of it and just got introduced to a lot of different things, that's when I realized that, wow, there's more to life than this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really funny, isn't it, how we take that on. You coming from Ghana, so I'm half Ghanaian myself, and there's still this real kind of respect and awe almost of the West, but particularly of Britain. It's still the mother country, isn't it? It's still that kind of, people in Britain must be so much more intelligent, and they're, you know, they're just better somehow because we're a wealthier country. Mm-hmm. There's this really strange oppression, self-internalized oppression, I think, that we have, that as Black people we're less than, and we just accept it. We're so used to it. It just just becomes normal.
Have you been to Ghana yourself?
Yeah, many a time. Many
oh, really?
Time,
when
yeah.
was the last time you went?
Just April.
Whoa. What did you think of it?
It was very hot. I only went for 9 days. I went for a funeral, unfortunately, the weather was just too much. Too much.
Where were you?
Kumasi.
Ah, that's where I was born, actually. Yeah. Nah, honestly, it's a really nice place, but you are completely right about the internalized, you know, racism, because even, you know, when I came here and people back home would be calling me and they're like, what, you're in Britain now? What, oh my God, like, I remember one of these people asked me this question. It was like, have you spoken to a white person yet? Like, that must be so insane. I was like, what? So, yeah, I mean, there's no more people. It's not this sort of godly type of, I don't know, it's not this godly figure, it's just no more people, aren't there, you know? The same things that we do, think the same things that we do sometimes, and yeah, it's just, there's no separation from them, you know? Well, mm-hmm. Some people just kind of suppress themselves due to the fact that, you know, obviously they're Black, and you know, they view being white as like aristocracy.
Yeah very much so. So you were in this kind of place where things were challenging, you were told to just accept it. So what then happened to kind of start taking you into the radicalization? What were kind of the first things that when you look back on, you go, oh yeah, that was what happened?
I think what happened is obviously because the school that I went to, at the start, I was very, you know, kind of headstrong, like, you know, don't speak to me like that, whatever. But then I realized that I'm actually not making any friends. Like, I was like, I'm just sat at the lunch table and I'm looking around, I'm like, damn, there's really no one here. So I kind of figured out that, you know, with these people, you're just going to have to, maybe it's the fact that, you know, I'm Black. Maybe it's because, you know, my hair's too long. Maybe it's because I talk too African. Maybe it's because I walk a certain way. Maybe it's because I dress a certain way, you know? So I was like, you know, let me, you know, I'm in the country after all. So let me, you know, educate myself about, you know, the British culture. You know, I started consuming British media. I started, you know, listening to the music. I started watching the old movies or the classical movies, whatever. And after going through all these changes, even changing the way I dressed to suit them, I realized that it worked, obviously. But at the end of the day, you can change whatever. Like, obviously, you can change whatever, your hair, you know, your clothing, the way you talk, the way you walk, but you're still Black. You know, that's one thing that I couldn't change. And that's one thing that they saw. You know, they see that, okay, I mean, you know our music, you know, you dress it differently, but you're still Black. You know, I remember back in the day, you know, at the height of me being like this, you know, it was due to a lot of like YouTubers, you know, me, you know, watching those quote unquote, you know, feminists getting owned. You know, I don't know if you ever came across those type of videos like Ben Shapiro, because obviously I was really, really Christian then. And obviously he was trying to appeal to the Christian crowd a lot during that time. So I was like, oh my God, yeah, you know, I love that, you know, he's standing up for God, whatever. And it slowly keeps you going, because it starts off as, you know, facts over feelings, you know, oh, you know, look at the criminal record. Why is there so many Black people on there? And I was like, oh, okay, maybe it makes sense, you know, because there are a lot of Black people, you know, who have a lot more criminal records than white people, especially in places like America. So I was like, okay, maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. Maybe it, the problem is that, you know, us being black people. So it didn't start from them just saying, you know, the N-word or, you know, outright being racist. It started off by them, you know, kind of making jokes, you know, testing the limit to see how far they can push you. And then it's by step almost. It's almost like a domino effect, you know? Once that first step is done, it just keeps, you know, keeps going on.
Yeah. And where did you get to? Where was the point where you, what kind of, how far down that path did you get?
I think I got far down the path of genuinely thinking that people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump were good people. Like, that's how far I got. To the sense that I thought, okay, because obviously, like I said, the church that I was going to was really linking materialism with blessings, you know, which I thought, okay, oh my God, these people are rich. Like, they must be blessed from God, you know. They mention God sometimes when they speak, you know, they're family people, you know, that means, you know, they must be good people. That's the type of people I want to become, you know, to a certain extent where I almost started, you know, seeing them as these, like, insane figures that, you know, I can't wait to be like them one day. I can't wait to have the wealth that they do. You know what I mean? There's a very common trend there, you know, when you link materialism with blessings, because you start thinking that every rich person has been blessed by God. They deserve it. And if you don't have money, then you're definitely not working hard enough, or you're not being blessed by God, or you're not praying enough. You know, that's how far I got deep into the pipeline.
Yeah. And it's a real failing, I think, of a lot of the churches that thrive within black communities, a lot of evangelical churches, and I'm saying black communities, but actually it's black and poor communities.
Yes,
because they do exactly that, don't they? They say that if you're not successful, it's because you're not devout enough. If you're not, you know, whatever goes wrong in your life, it's because you're not Christian enough.
Exactly.
And a good way to be Christian is you've got to pay your tithe, you've got to give your money to the church, you've got to give your time to the church. And it just, but it's that when you sit and think about it and you think about kind of Christianity and what's at the root of it, it's not about money, and it's not about that. And actually, you know, God and Jesus love the poor and all of that type of thing.
Exactly.
So it's really counter the message, but they are very clever in how they do that. So I can see that then link in your mind of,
exactly,
if you're rich and successful, you must be very godly.
It's honestly such an insane parallel to see, because I still see it now. Like, I made a video very recently. There's a TikToker called Steps. He's quite big in the UK, like amongst the younger people, you know, like younger than me type of thing. And he made a video. He was like, you know, there's a trend going on where he was like, you know, Prophet Muhammad, you know, whatever he's saying is wrong. You know, I believe in one true Christ. You know, there's only one true Christ, and he's the one that says the truth. And I replied to it because it really did upset me, because there's this link of, I feel like religion, especially something like Christianity, has strayed so far from its original messaging. And I really don't know what happened. Obviously, I know what happened, because obviously a lot of the words were used in order to, for different contexts, for different sort of messaging, or what to control whoever they wanted to control. That's why the message had been so skewed. But you saying that did bring that point up in my head, like, yeah, the idea of Christianity, like, you know, even reading the Bible, you know, Jesus genuinely loved poor people. You know, those are the people that he praised the most. So where did we get this idea from? That obviously, you know, if you're rich, that means it's a blessing. Obviously, we all know where that came from. Like I said, there's different contexts, different ways to control people. But yeah, it's just insane how far we strayed from the origins.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you kind of came from this position of actually originally having this really strong sense of who you were, and that confidence, I think, that comes in growing up in the country where you're in the majority. Mm-hmm. You've then come to the UK, you've had people not wanting to be with you, you've experienced racism, you've then tried to change as much as you can. Did you get to a point where actually you really, well, kind of hated black people?
I think it didn't get to that point, but I was almost there to the point where I hated myself. You know, the things like, you know, I shaved my hair every single time because I didn't want to look too intimidating. You know, I stopped going to the gym because I've always been naturally quite big, so I didn't want to be intimidating. So I was like, oh my God, I need to lose weight. You know, people might find me scary. You know, every time I'll be walking around, I'll be smiling at every single person I've seen because I don't intimidate them. You know, so I'm like, you know, and these messaging just comes from so much self-hatred, because I was like, you know, if someone sees me and if I'm intimidating, I don't want that. I don't want that. But one thing that I really wish I learned, like, from a young age, is that if someone sees you as intimidating for you just existing, then you're not the problem. You know what I mean? And back then, I didn't realize that. I thought, okay, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe my hair's getting too long. Maybe that's why people are scared of me. Maybe I'm not smiling enough. That's why people are scared of me. Maybe my accent isn't English enough. That's why people don't trust me. You know, but it just all came from a place of just self-hatred.
Yeah. And you know what? I hear Black men saying that so much about that, trying to make themselves appear less intimidating, and particularly that thing of smiling at everybody all the time, because if you smile at people, you're not going to be intimidating.
Exactly.
But then that in itself can be misinterpreted over, oh, you're trying to come on to me. And it's like, no, I just don't want you to be scared of me. So, yeah. So what was it that stopped you? What kind of saved you and pulled you back from that?
I think it was a very, very long journey of just self-understanding. You know, like this whole idea that, you know, it's been trends on and off, you know, of learning self-love. Honestly, there's a truth to it. I think a lot of people misinterpret self-love. And I think when I discovered self-love, you know, when I went to college, there were people from Coventry, Birmingham, London, I was meeting for the first time. And, you know, these are Black people who aren't ashamed to be Black. You know, these are Black people who are really themselves. They're talking how they want to. They're dressing how they want to. You know, they've got their hair however they want to. I was like, wow, this is insane to me, because I mean, I live in Rugby and I don't get none of this here, like, you know. And seeing them just be so unapologetically Black was such an inspiration for me. But I think even then, I still had that sort of, I'm still holding on to a piece of this self-hatred. Once lockdown hit and I found this book, All About Love by Bell Hooks, that book right there, that genuinely changed my life. You know, reading it, you know, and thinking, damn, okay, I need to learn how to love. Like, what even is love like? And in order to find out what love is, you have to know how to love yourself. You know, when I found those things and loving myself, being Black is part of myself. So loving myself is also loving my Blackness. You know, even me starting to get dreadlocks and stuff, like, a lot of my family members hated it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They hated it. Like, me getting dreadlocks, like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're getting dreadlocks? Like, you know, are you trying to be a bad kid, or you're trying to be a smoker? You're trying to be this? Are you trying to be this? But I was like, nah, I'm just really trying to be unapologetically Black, because for so long I've been trying to hide behind this mask of, you know, ignorance and also white acceptance, that I just can't do this shit anymore.
No, it's okay. You know what? People won't be able to see this, but I am smiling so much. I absolutely love what you said there, that well, all of it actually, but that idea of that learning to accept and to love yourself is so important, but it's really, really difficult. I think it's really challenging when there's so much messaging out there telling us that we shouldn't do that. So I'm so pretty. How old were you by that point when you kind of started to, so 2020 time?
So like, I was like 18, 19.
Right. So yeah, I mean, to be able to do that at that age, because I know people in their 50s and 60s who have not achieved that. So that's, you know, that's a blessing. Never mind money. That's a blessing.
Exactly. That's what I read. And it all came when I actually started doing art, because I wanted to explore my emotions a bit more, to be able to express it. And it really just, it opened up a lot of doors for me mentally, actually, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So your art, you've taken us really beautifully through to that. Tell us about your art and where you are now with it.
So my art, you know, the whole where I am right now is really to kind of speak my mind. You know, I'm in a very political landscape right now. I've always been very political, you know, even if I'm in the right or wrong, I've always been quite political. And my latest painting is called Shackles, right? It's this, you know, there's this white dude in a suit, you know, and he's just stood in the middle, like holding a book, like almost like a Bible. I don't want to say what it is. Mm. It could be anything. And there's these Black hands reaching out to him. And the whole idea behind that painting is the fact that a lot of materialism, especially in Black churches, is linked to the standards of whiteness, you know? Like, yeah. You know, there's a reason why, you know, a lot of Black people look up to white millionaires, you know, white people, you know, white people in power, white people in this, white people in that, white, you know what I mean? And there's a reason why there's the only representation that we get. you know, I realized that even things like the reason why I did that painting is because I learned the story of, you know, the Jesus that, you know, people see, or, you know, the white dude with the long hair and the blue eyes. You know, I learned the story behind it and how obviously that's clearly not Jesus. You know, this dude, he doesn't look like he was born anywhere within the Middle East. You know, it makes no sense. So that really inspired me to do this painting and just really kind of call out the fact that we're worshiping these ultra materialistic things that serve us no purpose. And obviously the main figure of the painting is white dude. He's covered in chains. He's covered in, you know, he's wearing a nice suit. He's wearing, you know, it's quite aesthetically pleasing to look at a guy because, you know, he's like this thing, there's just black hands, literally just only black hands reaching out to him. And that was just me of a bit of a kind of a shout out to the, I think me personally, the churches that I'm seeing anyway within my area, not that anyone that goes churches like that, but, you know, I used to be very, 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 you know, locked in when it comes to stuff like that. You know, I've been to so many churches, I've read the Bible multiple times. I know exactly what I'm talking about. There seems to be this misinterpretation and linking success and blessings to whiteness that I really, really, really want us to get out of our heads. But yeah, I'm really trying to tap into more kind of expressing my voice, whether it's anger, whether it's happiness, whether it's joy, whether it's me trying to link to my childhood, you know, or whatever it is, you know. And I'm currently doing a painting right now where it's more of like an African tribal mask. I don't know if I can turn the camera around, but if I can't, that's the painting I'm working on at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's just something to, you know, I don't know. I just saw this mask in Ghana when I went there last year, and I thought it was so cool. And I had to include it in something. But yeah, that's where I am right now.
Yeah, the masks are, I mean, some of them are blooming scary as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But they're so much a part of our culture, aren't they? That mm-hmm. whole mask. And I think it's really interesting, that idea of art not just being about being aesthetically pleasing, you know, not just being something that we put on the wall and go, isn't that nice, but something that has a message to it. And I think for me, there's that thing of what different people will see in your work. So, you know, somebody who comes from a similar background may well see that, but it would be really interesting, you know, what does a white person see in that? And what do people from other places around the world see in your work?
That's very interesting, actually, because I posted a TikTok about my work. Mm. And when I posted it, I didn't explain what it meant. I just put a title that it meant shackles, whatever. And I had I gained at least 150 to 100 new followers, which literally all of every single one of them were generally Christian people, like very, very, very Christian people. And I thought when I was posting that, I thought maybe I'd get a lot of hatred from them, but a lot of them saw the messaging as something that's like, okay, this is actually quite relatable. This is, you know, some of them did misinterpret. They thought I was just painting to someone who's preaching and, you know, just preaching, like it really not no meaning to it, just someone who's preaching. But that is very interesting. And I have an exhibition coming up in Rugby next 2 weeks, and I'm so, so interested to see how obviously like people from rugby who don't really understand my way of thinking, you know, some of them don't, some of them do, but a lot of people who don't understand it, I really love to see what they see or what they perceive it as or what they understand it to be. But yeah, that'll be quite interesting.
Yeah, it will be. So before we go, because I really think I could probably sit and chat to you for ages and unpick loads of stuff, but where can people find you? So TikTok, who are you on TikTok?
TikTok, it is K Frimpong Art. And Instagram, same thing, Kelvin Frimpong _art. YouTube, I think it's Kelvlogs, something like that. But
yeah, and I'll pop all of the links in the show notes. And in terms of your artwork, is that online? Can we access that online as well?
Yeah, there's a website that I've posted my portfolio on where you can see my artwork. Obviously, I've not wrote the meanings for it because I really do want, I love people literally looking at things and making their own conclusions. And if you want to ask me, you know, feel free to, you know, drop me a message, whatever. I'll be more than happy to explain. But you know, sometimes I think it's really good for people to see art in different ways and experience it however they feel they need to.
Brilliant. And like I say, we'll pop all of those links in the show notes. And well, thank you so much. I really recommend people do follow you because I really enjoy your content. I think and that combination of your discussion and then your artwork, I really enjoy. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And thank you for having this conversation with me today.
Thank you for inviting me too.
I hope you've enjoyed that episode of Black All Year. It would be great if you could subscribe and review, because not only will it make sure that you get the content, but it'll help other people to find it too. Take care.